Let us pray. Holy and loving God, you have reached out to us and called to us through your scriptures. We have heard of those who have gone before us and have answered the call. We have heard that their trust and belief in your truth. Help us to claim that trust and belief also for our own lives and our own spirits. This we pray in your Son's name. Amen. In my early days in Corfu, the church I was at before here, in the early 80s, I got to know a gentleman by the name of Tom Grodin. Tom was a Catholic. And he was also the father of my next door neighbor, Andy, the wife of a family next door. And Andy and her family were very active members of our church. And so through her, I got to know Tom. Tom was a master craftsman. This man could make stuff out of wood that was just gorgeous to look at. He once invited me to see a whole set of kitchen cabinets made out of solid cherry that he had made from scratch. And it was incredible. Very, just amazing. And I spent one morning every week for about a year and a half working with Tom, trying to pick up some of his wonderful knowledge. And I gained a little bit. Although every time I do something, I can just see Tom shaking his head going like that when I mess up. But suffice it to say, Tom loved working with wood, but he also loved wood itself. Now, he lived at the edge of a small village out in the country, and behind his house were acres and acres of land, and in the back, some years before, he had started a pine forest by planting pine trees all over the place every so often. And every year, Andy and her family would go out there and pick their Christmas tree and cut it down. Now, Tom was always clear to them, I don't want to know where you're cutting it down, because he could not bear to see his trees cut down. He loved them so much. And so he would never go back with them. And also, he would do it, but there was one caveat. He said, when you cut it down, you have to leave one branch on the stump. Because then, just like the stump on your cover of your bulletin, that one branch would slowly reach for the light and come up and become a new tree. And in that way, his pine woods were sustained. Now, I thought about Tom and his pine trees when I read our passage from Isaiah, especially the last several verses. It's the last verse. Even if a tenth part remain in it, it will be burned again like a terebinth or an oak whose stump remains standing. When it is felled, the holy seed is in its stump. Now, that's kind of a difficult understanding or a way to say that passage. Eugene Peterson wrote the book called The Message, which is his paraphrase of the Bible. Now, if you remember, a paraphrase is where somebody looks at the passages and says, okay, how can I say this better in our language today? And this is, and so you can't really use them for real Bible scholarship, except maybe just to see how other people interpret a passage. But Peterson writes about this paraphrases this passage by saying, the country will look like a pine and oak forest with every tree cut down, every tree a stump, a huge field of stumps. But there's a holy seed in those stumps. There's a holy seed in those stumps. Now, this seed in the stump is what we call today remnant theology. After the flood with Noah, God repented of destroying humanity like he did. And throughout Jewish history from that time, it was understood, or things were explained, that God would not totally extinguish the life of God's people ever again. that there, God would always leave a group of people to begin again with, which is what the prophet Isaiah is talking about, the holy seed in the stump. However, there's another level at which this passage speaks to us. And it's not that some of us will be saved when God does God's next destruction. But what it says to us is that when it seems like life has totally fallen apart, when all we see is death, dying, people losing hope, jobs, houses, and despairing, that there's still a holy seed within that. Take a look at the passage from Luke. Jesus tells Peter, go out a little ways and put down your nets. And we hear Peter, Master, we've worked all night long. We haven't caught a thing. Yet, if you say so, I'll let them down again. Peter's bone tired. He's been fishing all night and they haven't caught a dad-bone fish. They don't have one of those little sonar things that shows you where the fish are in the water underneath. He's tired. He wants to go home. And he doesn't want to put the nets down again because that's hard work. And you've got to haul them up when they're slippery and wet. But something tells him, after listening to this Jesus, that maybe he is different. And so he does it. Probably more than anything, just to show Jesus how wrong he was. Kind of like, okay, you may know about heavenly things, but I know about fish, and we're not going to catch anything. And I'll let my nets down again just to prove it. But in doing so, he taps into that holy seed. That holy seed in the stump. He discovers new life. He discovers a new catch. In the midst of his despair and his tiredness, suddenly he's got a fullness that it takes more than him and more than just his boat to haul in. That single branch begins to rise up and take a life of its own. When you feel that you just can't go on, when you're bone tired and weary in body and spirit, when you feel that God is nowhere around, we need to look around. To look for and expect to find that holy seed. As I was writing this, I was thinking of the Hernandez family who were burned out of the house on Main Avenue. How they must have felt like a burned out stump as they stood across the street and watched their home and everything that they owned burned up in that fire. But what they discovered was a holy seed. Because in the midst of that loss, they discovered a community that cares about them. A community that's willing to help them get on their feet and know that they're not alone. This, I think, is a very appropriate message for our church and for the church at large today. With so many people in our world and in our nation hurting, it's a time of opportunity. It's easy for churches in this time to hunker down and say, we've got to save money and all of this. But it's also a time to be reaching out, fishing for people, as it were, to help them to discover the holy seed in their lives. You know, the call of Isaiah is our call. God calls us. Who will I send? Who's going to go out and open up this hidden seed in the lives of the people? We are called to be a voice of hope when lives dry up. We are called to be there as God's representative. May God give us the hearts and the voices to do just that. Amen.